presenter is Matthews Ojo. Please, Matthews.
I would like to express my appreciation to the organizers of this conference, and particularly to the senior colleague, Professor Rosalind Hackett, who made it possible for me to be here. I cherish her friendship and the association we have maintained for several decades. I'm speaking on emerging trends in the relationship of Nigerian charismatic Christianity to the state. In this presentation, I'm examining the relationship between contemporary charismatic Christianity and the Nigerian state as part of the discourse on church-state relations. Specifically, I'm focusing on how the independent charismatic churches, a new religious phenomenon that emerged in the 1970s as a sectarian religion, with membership numbering a few thousands, of evangelical persuasion, but with very strong anti-materialism and Millerian belief, and a very strong holiness ethos, which was marginalized and on the fringe society, and which was very apolitical, that distanced itself from the state and the public sphere. But by the late 1990s, these charismatic churches have moved to the center stage of the society. They have increased their membership to several millions. They have sought public attention and relevance, and they have also tried to align themselves to the state and to position themselves as a powerful force in the muddy terrain of the Nigerian politics. Charismatics eventually shifted from being a political to become political. 40 years ago, at the beginning of the movement, this change would never have been contemplated. Let me just make these two illustrations. In the 2011 national elections, two prominent Pentecostal pastors contested in the presidential elections. The first was Chris Okotie, who was a presidential candidate of his own party, the Fresh Party. The second was Tunde Bakare, another prominent pastor of a Lagos-based charismatic church, who interestingly was the vice president candidate of a retired army major, a man who earlier he himself has vilified as a radical Muslim. This change of charismatics towards politics and the state would never have been imagined in the 1970s. Therefore, this changing perspective to the political sphere provides some better understanding of the competitiveness of the public sphere and the competition among the dominant religious groups in Nigeria. The political importance of charismatic Christianity in their relation to the state partly lies in the fact that the membership, constituting mostly of students and college graduates, form an articulate group within the civil society. And as it was demonstrated in the mass protests in January 2012, they can be mobilized on a massive scale. The social world of this educated middle class, their networks, the period of the obligatory national service, and their search for empowering experience to bring redemption to the ailing society cannot be overlooked in any study of religion and politics in Nigeria since the 1970s. As I interrogate this shift in the relationship of charismatic Christianity to the state, it should also be understood that we may have to shift a ground in our methodological approach. Instead of looking at religion and state relations from the Western categories of formal institutions, we may have to consider the non-formal aspects of the relationship. And this is, so we're not going to deal with legal and constitutional instruments. In fact, in the tension and the contest within the religions in Nigeria, none has ever approached the cause for any application, because they know whatever the cause is, it will never work. So they would rather contest it on the battlefield sometimes. So I'm looking at the information sector. The relationship between charismatic and the state has been played out within a contested space of religious pluralism in Nigeria. And this has been talked about by my previous speakers on Nigeria. The general agreement seems to be that almost all religions agree that religion is desirable, is necessary, even in the public sphere. And the government, in one way or the other, should give some support to the state, to the religion. And generally, the central government or the federal governments, the state governments, have been doing that. Pilgrimages are sponsored during important festivals, religious broadcasts from religious groups are sponsored. Pilgrim welfare boards are also financed by the government, among many other things. The charismatics, they form a segment within a larger body of Christianity in the country. We have the Roman Catholics, by the dominant group are the mainline Protestants. Then we have the indigenous African churches called the Aladra churches. Then we have some other lesser known ones. But the charismatic Christianity are important, because when they arose in the 1970s, they were championed by young men, mostly students and graduates, who labeled themselves as pastors and evangelists, despite lacking any pastoral or theological training. Their proselytizing activities initially were within the existing Christian churches and in public spaces. Are you born again? You must be born again, was a common way they approached their listeners. These young Puritan preachers also offered prayers which could bring deliverance from every kind of malevolent spiritual forces. Their sermons centered on healing, miracles, breakthrough programs, Holy Ghost night services, and they also made advertisement of their special programs in the media. The new media, particularly, has also aided the dissemination of Pentecostal spirituality in the country. Pentecostal spirituality centers on the experience of baptism of the Holy Spirit and the practice of the charismatic gifts. By the late 1980s, the rise of the charismatic organizations was visible and it could not be ignored because they were reshaping the religious landscape in the country. From a number less than 100 in the 70s, they have grown in terms of numbers to more than 10,000 in the new millennium. Let me then go on to the emerging trends in this relationship. The charismatic projection of redemption within the context of the predatory nature of governance and the crisis in the Nigerian state has experienced changes and modifications over the past four decades. Four major trends have emerged. The first trend in the 1970s, this with a focus on eschatological expectation and the end of the world, evangelism was promoted, and this indirectly stimulated their apolitical stance. This doctrinal emphasis on evangelism was, and also to a sense, the focus on healing and the rewards that will come from these activities thereafter were strongly promoted by William Kumuyi, a former university teacher who founded his charismatic church in 1973, and also by Sidney Elton, a Briton who was an independent Pentecostal missionary in the country. This otherworldly orientation encouraged anti-materialism as a visible sign of spirituality. With this orientation, charismatic Christianity soon identified the state and the public sphere with permissive values and as a space for demonic activities and sources of spiritual oppression. Converts were warned and encouraged to have nothing to do with the unbelieving world and with government. Politics was taught in the Bible studies as the arena of worldliness, which would pollute Christians. In fact, there were few cases of students who were charismatics who abandoned their university education to become full-time evangelists because of the expectation of the enter. The second trend became more visible in 1978 after Nigeria hosted its second World Festival of Black Art and Culture. Shortly after the event, the country began to experience economic difficulties. This situation then provided opportunities for charismatics for symbolic interpretation of what one pastor called the demonic invasion of the country. Consequently, charismatics condemned the state for its sponsorship of this cultural renaissance. This new interpretation meant a lot for this sectarian movement, whose religion had earlier justified iconoclasm as a means of seeking complete break from the religious and cultural past in order to offer a new redemption and national regeneration. The satanic forces were associated with traditional religion and also with the government that provided generous sponsorship for these cultural festivals. And from this time on, a new political understanding of the state emerged, as charismatic claimed that they have a historic role to play in the public domain. From this time, conversion programs tried to secure connection between righteousness and authority, and by staging a conscious engagement of the faithful with demonic forces as a means of rescuing the country. During this time, the charismatic group that was formed, the Christian Social Movement of Nigeria, regularly published prayer bulletins, issued what was called prophetic pronouncements, and also sometimes made paid adverts in newspapers as a way of mobilizing Christians to what are called their new responsibility in the nation. Let me just quote one or two from the prayer bulletin. We must not be content to chant our hymns and say our prayers while the crisis deepens. There must be a change of thinking and attitude towards life and the responsibility for the condition of our nation and society. It's not just normal and ordinary that we are having a wobbling economy and rank as one of the most corrupt and undisciplined nations in the world. The church in Nigeria is closely delinquent on this prophetic ministry of warning and judging this nation. Another quotation. We must realize that the present revival and the move of the Holy Spirit in Nigeria is not only for Nigeria, but God has chosen Nigeria as the base from which He is going to invade other West African countries with the gospel of liberation and deliverance. These were some of the pronouncements where there was a new understanding. And in response to this new understanding, they created what they call Prayer for the Nation. It became a group aspiration. And this continued into the 1990s. And moreover, by the early 1990s, Yakubu Gowon, one-time Nigeria head of state, had joined a group to promote what they call Nigeria Praise. It was a morning program that was taking around major cities in the country. The third trend, which emerged from 1986, and which greatly changed the perception of pragmatists about the state, was the contest of the public space with Muslims or with Islam. This began when there were information that Nigeria secretly joined the Organization of Islamic Country. And this issue and the subsequent religious violence and the deterioration in the relation between Christians, they all justified their perception that the government and Islam was embarking on an Islamization agenda for the country. And thereafter, the government of Ibrahim Babangida, who was the head of state, was particularly singled out for using the state apparatuses for the support and the promotion of Islam. And this political consciousness ran throughout the 1990s. However, from 1999, there was a new articulation of the relationship of charismatic Christianity to the state. This time, a Christian, Olusegun Obasanjo, was elected president. Obasanjo, before his election, had claimed a conversion experience while he was in the prison. Particularly, he attributed he had been condemned to death in the coup, and suddenly the main accuser had died, and he was released. And 3 months later, he became the country president. And this proclamation of a conversion experience in the public sphere made charismatics to rally around Obasanjo, because they immediately redefined him as a messiah for the country. He was restructured as a messiah that will carry out the agenda of charismatics who they have hoped for in the past. And this new political understanding eventually also led charismatics to go into partisan politics. Chris Okotie, who I mentioned earlier, in the 2007 election, only polled a vote of 74,000 in a country of 140 million. That even showed that even the charismatics themselves, they did not vote for him. So there's this ambiguity about charismatics' influence. Then the last one was Bakare, who was a prominent and who became the vice president, the running mate for a Muslim presidential candidate whom he earlier had also condemned. In conclusion, in summary, in the 1970s, when charismatics emphasized eschatological issues and they emphasized materialism, the state was not needed. However, the transition from eschatological to essential issues brought to the reality the need of seeking the support of those who could make possible the access to material benefits. Hence, the state and the political sphere began to matter. Moreover, the public sphere was seriously contested because they were aware that there were other religious entities that wanted to appropriate that space. And that religious entity have earlier identified as Islam. At the same time, the politicians also needed the support of charismatics, which form an articulate group within the civil society. Nevertheless, because Pentecostals, or because of their internal contradictions and in their churches, they have not been able to go beyond the level of the involvement of politics than other groups of Christians. Although charismatics and Pentecostals have sought to link spirituality to governance, but this has not been effective in addressing Nigeria's problem on a large scale. It might have given hope to individuals and transformed their lives. But the Commonwealth is not yet redeemed. The conclusion that we can draw is that charismatic Christianity and its messianic action towards politics and the state has failed to redeem Nigeria, has failed to redeem the Nigerian past, just as it has failed to secure promises of security and justice for the present. Thank you.